We Saved You a Seat is sponsored by the Oklahoma Family Network. Oklahoma Family Network focuses on supporting families of children and youth with special health care needs and disabilities, as well as families who have children with a mental health or behavioral health diagnosis. Oklahoma Family Network provides families with emotional support, resource navigation, parent-to-parent engagement opportunities, and wants to ensure quality health care for all children and families by building strong and effective family professional partnerships. Thank you so much for joining us for part 3 of my conversation with Kayla. We continue to focus on prematurity awareness, and in this episode, you will hear our conversation surrounding Kayla's treatment and support for perinatal mood and anxiety after giving birth, and why this option was best for her and her family. I am so incredibly thankful for Kayla and her willingness to share pieces of her journey to help bring awareness, conversation, education, and support to others.
I know you had shared with me about the treatment that you received for your perinatal mood and anxiety disorder. And I know that was something unique, that you had taken a different approach that maybe was a little outside the box a little bit. And I'm wondering if you would mind sharing what you did to try to combat some of those emotions and some of those things.
Yeah. So while she was in the NICU, they upped my antidepressants and everything, and I felt a little bit of a difference. But as time went on, it just, nothing was really changing, and I was sad and I was crying all the time and I was blaming myself, and I didn't want to, I know they always say, like, I don't want to get out of bed, it's like textbook depression, but it is. I didn't want to leave the house. I didn't, I was snippy and just, I wasn't me. I was just very, very different. And I was talking to my psychiatrist, and so I was on Zoloft, and she said, well, there are other things we can try, but there is like a big, an adjustment period for any medication. So she said, we can try something else, but it will, take a while, and then we'll see, and then we can adjust, or we can change it, or we can try something else. She said, or there is this new treatment that is the first FDA approved treatment for PPD, postpartum depression. And it's a 60 hour IV infusion, which sounded terrifying to me, having just been, bedridden in a hospital, catheterized for 2.5 days, I guess. Still a little bit fresh, that trauma. But so I said, okay, like, what does that mean? Is it at home? Does someone come to do it? And she said, no, like, you have to go. It's like a house, basically, and there are 6 rooms, and so up to 6 mamas can be there at the same time. And there are nurses around the clock, and they have to watch you because potentially, like, extreme sleepiness and losing consciousness were like the big 2 side effects. And so, it's basically just like you're hanging out in a dorm with an IV pole. So I thought, like, well, I don't want to be somewhere for 3 days where I can't go see my daughter in the hospital. I don't want that. I think that would be hell. And so they said, like, well, why don't, wait till she comes home. This was maybe in September. And she came home the end of October. So, I was like, okay, like, I'll wait. We upped our heads again. But she came home in October, and everything was just so different than I'd imagined and than I'd seen. Both my sisters have a plethora of children. And so, like, I've been around babies and postpartum women, and, it wasn't the same for me. Like, I was mad at my baby. I was mad at myself. I was, I felt hopeless. And I'm not great with change in general. So, like, this was just, I had no idea of what my expectations should be or what, I don't know what it's like bringing a baby home on oxygen. I was very scared to do that, but we just got so tired of being in the unit and, just having to get there and the, like, not really the politics of it all, but kind of, you can only get them out at this time or do this or, and someone's always watching you. So we decided to bring her home on oxygen after talking to Michelle and Hope, who I met in group. Yeah, so we brought her home and it was weird and crazy. And, we didn't know what we were doing, like any new parents. I thought, like, well, we're home now, so things will get better. I won't need to do that weird thing, that weird treatment. But nothing changed. If anything, it got worse because of the isolation. That, like, being having a baby in the NICU is isolating because, not many people have gone through it, and no one, not no one can relate, but a very small club of us can relate, and nobody's journey is exactly the same. And so, that's isolating. Even my husband and I have different stories. And then being at home, which they tell you, stay in a bubble. Protect your tiny baby's lungs, obviously. It was another level of isolation and it just got worse. There wasn't really like a big thing that happened or like a specific point I remember getting to, but I was like, she's home now. I need to do that thing. I gotta do it. That seemed like my kind of like my last option. And I wasn't suicidal during like that portion after she came home, but I was very hopeless, very stuck in that feeling. Yeah, so November 15th, I think, through 17th of last year, I went. Started at like 7 in the morning, and they hooked me up and they couldn't find a vein, which was annoying, and had to stab me a couple times, but they got it in and got it going. When my doctor told me about it, she said, some people feel better that weekend. And I was like, wow, yes, please. That sounds great. But I didn't. I remember Baker and Zetta picked me up afterwards, and I was just like, I feel the same. Sorry, didn't work. But gradually, a week and then 2 weeks, and then I think at a month, I was like, oh, I'm like doing things, like things I couldn't do before. Like I'm loading the dishwasher and changing my clothes every day, small things, but a huge difference. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm like becoming myself again. It's called Zulresso, is like the treatment. At first I got denied for it by my insurance because they have to, it's a level 2 or something that they say you have to have tried so many level 1 treatments before. It's technically a level 1, but because of the way it's administered, they put it as a 2 or something. I don't know, medical school. I just do what I'm told. But then they did it again and I got it, which, thankfully. So yeah, I'm really glad I did it. No telling where I'd be or what would have happened without that.
Yeah, I love that. So you did have to advocate a little bit harder to receive that that treatment then.
Yeah, a little bit. And there was a lot of back and forth about, just because of like how I was raised and no one talked about depression and no one, PPD was like this horrible thing that, only affected one in however many, and it's the people that drown their kids or some, shaken baby, whatever. And I was like, that's not, I don't think I have, that's not, I don't want to do those things. I don't, I don't know. So it was a lot of like, should I tell anyone I'm doing this, or not, or, you know, just a lot of, you know, what will people think of me? What does this say about me? But then, you know, I don't know if Baker said it to me or someone else, but they were like, this isn't for other people. This is for you, and this is for your daughter, because she deserves to have a mom, period. You know, a mom who takes care of herself and a mom who, you know, can ask for help and recognize that shit's not right.
I love that. I love that you're not doing this for anyone else. You're doing this for you, and you're going to take care of yourself, which is so incredibly important. And there is a stigma still tied to what we call the perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. And you know, I know that we have a state that's working very hard to try to, you know, remove that stigma. So some of the things that you mentioned were you just knew that things weren't right. Like you just knew that, you know, there were things that, would you say that there was even reduced bonding that was happening or things like that?
I was really fearful of everything, you know, because it was such an unknown situation when she was home and when she was in the NICU. Just like, you know, hands off. I don't want to screw up any more than I have already, you know. Yeah, and I think because of the NICU, you know, they're always like, well, you know, you don't bond. Or, you know, it seems like you wouldn't bond as well, you know, just because you can't be holding them all the time or looking at them in the light. So that was definitely part of it. And like, I just didn't want to be around her. I never said no if someone wanted to hold her, you know, like someone in our immediate bubble. I was like, yeah, sure, take her, whatever. It took a while for me to be able to say, it's not something wrong with me. It's not my fault that I don't want to bond with her. It's my disease. You know, it's things happening in my brain that are not my fault. Actually, after the Zulresso, I'm technically being treated for postpartum OCD as well, just with like my levels of meds, just because the intrusive thoughts were really terrible.
I know that wasn't easy to share, but I just thank you. I thank you for being honest and open and sharing so many things. As we continue to celebrate Prematurity Awareness Month, I'm wondering if you can share anything that maybe stood out to you, reminding that you remember nurses helping you, encouraging you, or supporting you through your journey with a NICU baby.
We had so many great nurses. Our primary was wonderful. At one point, Baker and I were exposed to RSV, and so we couldn't go up for almost a week, I think. And so she would FaceTime us at every feeding, with like the NICU phone. And then one day she just, I'm just gonna leave you here. You can look at her. So we like read her books over FaceTime. Because, you know, they have that little stand thing for the phone. So that was like, I felt like that was above and beyond, really sweet. And I know the whole pod could hear us reading her books, but that's fine. I guess I got to hold her on the 19th. We went that day and I was like, I get to hold her today. And like, it's been a hard day for her. There's been a lot happening. So we're gonna say no to skin, which was like heartbreaking. But I think it was harder for the nurse telling me. You know, like it at that point, I was like, okay, whatever. You know, this is just par for the course. But so Donna was our nurse. She is precious and so sweet, and she's a grandma. And she said, call me Grandma Donna. And I was crying like normal because I was always crying. She was like, close the curtain, close the curtain. So we're like, okay, like what's about to happen? And she popped the top of the isolate and she, you know, put the sides down, which was the first time I'd seen that. And I was like, oh my gosh, it just comes apart like that. She was in her little swaddle and she said, kiss her. Like, go kiss her. And so we each got to go like rub her little head and kiss her. And it was so sweet. And I have a picture. We get to kiss her. And I put, you know, there were live photos, so I put them all together. And it's like, and I just like started bawling. And then she was like, take your mask off, kiss her again, kiss her again. It's your baby. And I was like, okay, Donna, thank you. I remember Joby let me give her a jacuzzi bath. Yeah.
Those jacuzzi baths are pretty special, so
Yeah.
that's wonderful. I love that. The nurses will always be a part of our life. They're very special to us. I cannot thank you enough for sharing pieces of your journey.
Thank you for listening to this episode of We Saved You a Seat. Oklahoma Family Network promotes family-centered care and provides tools so families can make informed decisions, advocate for improved services, build connections among families, and serve as a trusted resource in health care of children and young adults. If you would like to become a supporting family or get in touch with another family, please contact Oklahoma Family Network at oklahomafamilynetwork.org or by calling 405-271-5072.